So I want to talk this morning about the bread of heaven from John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. If you've ever tried to tell something that you believe and people just don't want to hear it, maybe you say to somebody, you know, I really think that lump on the back of your neck, you should at least have it looked at. You know, you might tell somebody to, if you see something and I'm going to be fine. You know, we would call that stubborn. Human beings are a stubborn group. Let me show you an image of stubborn. I'm not stubborn. This is a cat speaking. I'm just always right. And this is something that I think we need to recognize, why it is important while a human being has time not to be like that cat. They need to come. I know there are cat lovers in this place that I'm already in trouble with. All right? We'll leave it there. And I'm not trying to insult the cat. However, we recognize that that cat is going to do his thing, her thing, on his timetable. So many people are like that cat. You're not going to move them. They think they have all the time in the world, and we continue to see images all over our media of people whose very last breath was breathed today, and they didn't even know it was coming. You think of the story where Jesus talks about the man who built some wealth, he's built some credibility, and he decides and he says, I'm going to build some bigger barns. So he is aspiring, and I think buildings are great. James would say, you know, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go here and there, we're going to do that. And then James says, you shouldn't boast about that. You don't know what a day will bring forth. But in that story with Jesus, he talks about the man who decides that because he has some wealth and he has some needs for additional storage, he's going to build some bigger barns. And he does that. And he apparently builds them at a sizable level that he himself is actually comforted by the size of his own barn. He even comments to himself, he says, now soul, you can rest. You can, you know, take it easy, right? And God says to him, tonight, fool, your soul's required of you. So there's this part of us that of all the pursuing that we can do in this life, and there are some good things to go after, right? There's good employment opportunities, can be. There can be a wonderful marriage that I got to tell you that I enjoy very much with Beth. And I know some of you now will love grabbing that hand beside you because you know what that's about. But there's good things in this life, but nothing in this life will last this side of heaven. And God knows that. Yet he allows this world that has been made by him, that where sin came into the world, not of his choosing and not of his doing, but of a rebellion against him. And because of that rebellion, it brought sin into planet Earth. Everything is contaminated by sin. I mean, just look at the laws that are on our silly books. Guess what? Because somebody decided to do something selfish, and as a result, it cost somebody else something of importance. Now you get laws and laws and laws. We got a prison system that's overwhelmed. We got a welfare system that's just overwhelmed because there's real problems in the world, and God knows that. And the scripture says that God wants you to know that he is there not only to help you, but to save you for a future time, that right now it begins here on planet Earth. It's called salvation, eternal salvation. It's the gift of God. That's why you should feel confident as you hand anybody out a Gospel of John that you're offering them the words of life. You're offering them the very words of Jesus Christ in Holy Scripture. Jesus knows that we can be a stubborn people. And guess what? He came to a stubborn planet. And if you read the Gospel of John, some of the things that you'll see in the Gospel of John is Jesus coming up against religious leadership. These are so-called people who should have understood, but they took the things that were meant to be important and sacred and right and true and a guide, and they turned them for their own advantage. They turned it as a leverage against people. And see, Christ came, as the Scripture says, he came to fulfill all Scripture. He says, these scriptures that you study, they point to me. And so what happens is people put Jesus as just one of many of the religious systems in the world. It really doesn't matter what you believe, if as long as you are sincere. Well, according to God, that's a lie. Because God has a order, He has a creation, and He has a salvation for that, for His creation. You and I are part of His creation. And Jesus is the proof of that. Up on the screen are going to just be a few verses from John chapter 6. And this is John chapter 6, beginning at verse 35. I'm just going to read to verse 40. This is a message I'm calling the bread from heaven. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. 3 points on the back of your bulletin, and we'll put them up on the screen. I see that in this portion of Scripture, without question, that Jesus is referring to himself as everlasting nourishment. He is everlasting nourishment. He makes a promise here that you and I should strongly consider if we're not sure about this, because this deals with a lot of the present pursuit in our life. Number two, Jesus is manifesting the Father's will. So Jesus is fulfilling the greatest demonstration to this world that we would ever know. How many people like a good demonstration? That's why when we read this morning, honor whom honor is due, I can tell Amanda all day long that I appreciate you. But guess what? I think she knows officially, because we manifested something in front of everyone's eyes today. Everyone here, if you were here in the last few minutes, you were a witness to that. We manifested action of loving on Amanda and appreciating her. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God in human flesh. He is it. There is no one who compares to him, no one ever. And you would look at and see this in John verses 6, verses 38 and 39. And Jesus goes so far to say that his promise of this is a guarantee. If you just think of our calendar, 2019, it goes all the way back to the resurrection. The world has simply recognized that something turned the calendar. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to fathom this for just a second, and I know many of you have. If you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, it gives a visual to perhaps some of the horrific suffering that our Lord did bodily for us. I remember seeing the opening scene, and I've said this often, as I watched the opening scene of The Passion of the Christ, and there's our Savior praying in the garden. I said, it's only going to get worse from here. Like the moments of the greatest agony is when he's going to experience all-time separation. He never had separation from his Father. And when Jesus says on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is something the Son of God had never known. And right there, right then, everyone's sin is being placed on him as a full atoning sacrifice. Blood poured out of his body on that cross. Even before that, when that crown of thorns was placed on his brow, and those massive lashes he took to his flesh willingly. Remember when he's in the garden and Peter pulls out the sword and decides to try to, you know, to take off the guy's head. Guy apparently ducked, and Peter gets his ear. right? And what does Jesus do? He picks up the guy's ear in front of everybody, probably just, you know, aspects of just hanging flesh. And Christ, literally, the scripture says, he placed that right back on, did the mending right in front of everybody. If this in itself wouldn't have been, and they realize there's something very special about this, because here's God incarnate in human flesh, taking upon himself our sin in full. He's going to the cross to pay a debt that you would never have to pay. This is a sweet deal, people. This is a hallelujah, what a Savior I serve. That's why every day that I wake up to serve the Lord, because I know that if God is for me, who could be against me? It doesn't really matter what happens. I understand. I don't like to see human suffering. I don't like to see 7 motorcyclists get killed and have all these tragedies and fires and people's death and all this stuff. I don't know if you saw it, but on New England Cable News yesterday, they show this wonderful story of this guy who was an amputee from a car accident. Did anybody see this story? He's an amputee from a car accident. His neighbor drives by his house, and I believe this is up in Maine, drives by the house and sees the house burning down. He literally knows that the guy in there is an amputee, and he's going to need help getting out. The guy runs down to the local diner, gets a crew, and they run back, and they get him out. And the picture on this house, literally, is a burning mess. This house is in I'm telling you, if this gentleman had not responded when he responded, that guy probably would have been burning alive in that wheelchair. But here's the good news. That man was a saved man. He says, I give credit to Jesus Christ for saving my life. He pulls up his shirt. He's got this tattoo of Jesus. He says, live by faith. I'm like, that's a guy who clearly understood this. But the rejoicing moment that was there was pretty impactful. For me, I'm like, wow. I'm not saying go tattoo your chest. All right, I get it. Some people do, you know, all types of body art these days. But the point is, Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body. Rather fear him who can put both body and soul in hell. Here's the deal. Do you think it's God's delight to send anyone to hell? Actually, people choose to go to hell. They choose utter separation from God because that was their choice, kind of like that cat. Come, 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 I'm not coming. And that's the picture of the human being. Is that we are rebellious. We're born rebellious. You don't have to be taught how to be rebellious. It comes naturally. Just saying, right? You can high-five yourself if you need to, right? But not saying that's a good thing. But the problem is that no one taught us how to do evil. Look at how evil just seeks its own. Look at the people that hang out with each other and they plot evil. How are we going to get this done? How are we going to do that? You know, when I was a kid, I hung out, and I'm not proud of these things, and my daughter and my son are hearing more of these stories. I used to sit outside a local convenience store asking people to buy us beer. And people would go in and do it. And they shouldn't have. It's 14 years old. So I kind of understood. I grew up in a very worldly system. I understood it. This is, I hung out with people of the world because people of the world make you feel like, you know, you got friends. And it's cool to do stuff that kind of just, but after a while, the trajectory of that lifestyle 15 years down the road is often car accidents, death, addiction, and a mess. And then it's usually people like Jen's working with at Bloom, and we heard people coming in through Teen Challenge. Amanda and her friend Kimmy were out fundraising yesterday on behalf of Bloom because there are girls in crisis right here in our local area. And there has to become houses to help these girls get out of a lifestyle of crisis. So Christ is the lifter out of our true sense of spiritual crisis. He's the lifter. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the lifter of our head. In other words, he's the one who can put truly a smile on your face. Because when you're right with God, nothing else matters. So if anybody takes your life to this side of heaven, if somebody comes up, and God forbid that somebody comes up and hurts this church in any way, you and I, who know Jesus Christ, are instantly in the presence of the Lord. That's a hallelujah. This is a hallelujah that you and I are living people in Jesus Christ that are going to spend together forever with our wonderful Savior who spilt his blood upon that cross. This is an awesome story. And that's why we as a church should be excited about sharing this wonderful, matchless grace of God with the world in need. I was reading through a letter by the Pocket Testament League. I may have it here. So Pocket Testament League is the group that is behind these publications of the Gospel of John. The letter says this. Dear David, let me paint you a picture. Millions of people in China and India meet Jesus in the next 6 months. Thousands of brave veterans move from despair to hope through the power of the gospel. Women who think abortion is the only option find new life for themselves and their babies in Christ. Revival takes hold here at home, and the hearts of the next generation are set on fire for Jesus. Friday night, my daughter, Amanda, and along with 20 other young people spend time up in South Plymouth on a beach worshiping Christ and honoring Him as the sun is setting. So if you know any young people who need to go up into South Plymouth and know Christ, talk to Amanda because it's a good gathering. It's called The Gathering. It's called Refuge, right? The Gathering's another deal. Anyway, she's part of all those local things. And then it talks about here, this can happen, this must happen, because the alternative is heartbreaking. So today I'm asking you to join a movement of passionate believers who are making a difference as living water partners giving monthly to spread God's word to persecuted nations, to the veterans, to crisis pregnancy, and here at home. And that's what we're doing as a church. We care about people. We want to get them here. It's not just about the bouncy house and the guy with the hot dog hat. It's about, you missed that one possibly. They beg me to put it on every time, and I give in. But it's about caring enough about people. We're calling this campaign Neighbor to Neighbor. A neighbor is anyone in your life, pretty much. A neighbor is somebody that you know. It might be the person next door. It might be the person you work with. It might be you knowing somebody that you hear is in need, and you say, I'm going to give this to you to give to them. God opens up doors as we open our mouth. I truly believe that. We have to be sensitive to His Spirit, make sure that if we are, that we're paying attention. See, that's the beautiful thing about being a believer in Jesus Christ. And I know some of you bring people to church here because you're attentive to needs. You care about people. You invite them to come. You share Christ, and they come with you. See, that's the awesome thing about the church. You get them here. We'll do the work, right? We want to see people come to know the Savior, because I believe when people know the Savior, they can truly grow like never before. And Jesus is speaking about that here. He says, verse 35 to 36 and 37, and Jesus said to them, this is talking about Him being the source of everlasting nourishment. I am the bread of life. Who makes that promise except Christ? And He can make it because He is God in flesh. And He's willing to go to a cross for sinners. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Remember that story where Jesus is speaking, and I believe it's in this very chapter of chapter 6. And He talks to His disciples, and a disciple in Jesus' day is anybody who would say, I want to listen to Him. I want to follow Him. Listen to this. This is an important distinction between being saved and being a disciple. In that story of John chapter 6, in this chapter, Jesus is speaking hard things. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. He is not talking about munching on His body and drinking His blood. All right? We know that that's not what He's talking about, but He is talking about, because He is the very embodiment of the Word of God, He's talking about ingesting God's truth and words in a person. As you listen to Jesus and as you look to Him and you get the record of that in the living Word of God, the Bible is a living book. It's alive. It is alive. It changes lives. And so in that story, Jesus is speaking hard things to those who are in His midst. They're listening to Him. And it says, many of His disciples went away. So a person can espouse, and we know this because Judas is one of the 12, and he was a betrayer. He was filled with Satan. He was given the same opportunity. Jesus certainly called him to see the same things that they saw. He was endued with the same power, but he really was an unbeliever. Can you believe that? Can you believe that you can get acquainted with Jesus but actually not believe Him? But it says there, many of His disciples went away. And He says to them, are you guys going to go too? Are you guys leaving too? And one of them says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. See, this is our awesome Lord. So when you know that you're right with God, your pursuit of nourishment and thirst is being satisfied permanently. Jesus calls himself living water. He talked to the woman at the well about living water. If you know him, if you knew him, this is why I would encourage you, before you guys go out and give out those Gospels of John, take a Sunday afternoon, minus the Red Sox, right? Go sit in a quiet place. Mike Mangum said to me recently, he said, Pastor, I took my Bible, I sat outside and I just read. And I praise God. Some of us just need to go out and sit down and read that Gospel of John. Or if you're not a good reader, put it on your phone and hit play on Bible Gateway and you can listen to chapter after chapter. There is no excuse in the 21st century for not getting the Word of God in us. It fills us. And as you are filled with this living Word, you're filled with the power of this word, it makes you want to give it out. The scripture I shared in Sunday school this morning, just briefly, the Bible says that you and I are ambassadors of God, as if God was begging through us, be reconciled to God. I just love that. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When a person places faith in Jesus, you want to know what happens? You are classified as a fully righteous person. As righteous as Jesus Christ. Hello, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, and God doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus Christ as your complete payment, because when you believe Christ, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Am I keeping you awake this morning? Yes. Amen. All right, good. I will not do jumping jacks. Promise. But this righteousness that we gain from our Savior is the one that satisfies our longing and our hungry and our thirst. You've heard it said, I've said it before. If anybody who's been in any support group environment will often hear the acronym HALT. Anybody know what it stands for? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So most people who find themselves landing in addiction, guess what they're really saying? I'm hungry for love. And I'm finding it, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. I'm looking for it in drugs. I'm looking for it in sex. I'm looking for it in relationships. I'm looking for it in a person who's not going to satisfy me except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the full satisfaction that you and I need. And you and I should not be ashamed of this message. You and I have wealth untold in him. And we have wealth to give out if we would give it out. You have resources. You have an offer. You can stand confidently before any human being to say, on the authority of God's word, I can give you the grace of God. Completely free. But you need to receive it. Now, people can be all scared and they're going to go to hell, and I get that. And we have a, because without Christ, there is no eternity in heaven. So a person can't say, well, I just tried to be good enough. Well, it's not going to get it done, because what we're negating is what happened on that cross 2,000 years ago. So for 2,000 years, God has held up this sacrifice. And Jesus points a lot of that out here. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes me shall never thirst. In other words, he's satisfying the true ache and hunger of your heart that's there. Because I'll tell you what, every physical appetite that we have for wealth, for intimacy, for all those things, they eventually fade. Every one of them, they're not made to satisfy, because you're trying to live life on your own without God when those things become your primary pursuit. But when you know God, you know the true hunger and the true thirst. And we got it to give away. But I say to you that verse 36 of chapter 6, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. So people, I can talk about this all day long up here. We could get hundreds of people in this building. I can talk about Jesus, but the choice always is going to be, what are you going to do with Jesus? That's always the question. And here's an interesting thing here in verse 37. Some people try to turn these type of verses upside down. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Here's how you know what the Father's doing. He is giving every person a choice. In one sense, that is the presentation of Jesus, of people to Christ. But look what Jesus says here. All that the Father gives me will come to me. In other words, he's giving them an opportunity right here to believe, to come. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means comes out. So in other words, here is the opportunity for every human being on planet Earth to receive Christ. If a person comes, they will never be cast out. That's just the good news. So you can have confidence this morning that God's will is that people get saved. And He not only wants to save you from an eternity away from Him, He wants to save our present life right now for fruitful service. Fruitful service. I believe this church is a fruitful church. I think we have more fruit to produce. And I think we want to have more fruit to pick. Because people get nourished when there's healthy fruit. Healthy fruit is people coming who were in crisis, in need, saw their need, receives Christ. Perhaps it's gotten old for you. I just know you think this way. You get your grocery list. My family, we typically either shop at BJ's or Costco. Anybody do BJ's or Costco? Some people. Okay. We'll go sometime. Or we'll meet there. We often see people too. So you take your list, you go up and you buy what you need. Well, guess what? It eventually goes. You get home and it's only a matter of a few days and you're saying, we're out of food again. We're out of food again. Because these things that are in this life are not meant to keep us satisfied. God knows that. That's why I believe in God's great mercy, great knowledge, great understanding. Even though sin has an opportunity to do significant damage, we have an all-sufficient Savior. I love what John Newton says to the song Amazing Grace. You probably have heard me refer to this before. John Newton refers to himself. He says, I'm a really great sinner. As he writes the pens probably the words to one of the greatest hymns that you and I have known in modern hymnody, that's the word, all the hymns that are there. Who doesn't know Amazing Grace? Well, John says, I'm a really great sinner, but He's a really great Savior. And so that's what we want to think in mind, that there's no debt that you have that Christ can't forgive. There's no sin that you and I have that the cross didn't take care of. There's no person out there in Wareham, Sagamore Beach, Plymouth, Marion, Marston's Mills, across the Cape, all these towns around us. There's no situation that Jesus Christ can't make different and can't make better and can't make good on. The Bible says that He causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Guess what? Being called according to His purposes is being willing to come to Him and let Him do something in your life. It really doesn't matter. The problem is we got to still keep coming. We still have to keep thirsting after Him, feeding on His Word, as we're going to do in just a couple of minutes as we celebrate the Lord's table. Jesus manifests the Father's will. He says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up on the last day. If you placed faith in Christ at any time in your life, you are not going to be lost. But don't be like that cat who just resists, squirms his way away. The pursuit is just right now. This is the day that any person who's hearing my voice, whether it be on radio, internet, in this congregation, that they would say, I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep thirsting. I'm going to keep hungering because I know that Christ is the one who satisfies that need. Jesus manifests the Father's will. He says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. The Scripture says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, who I am chief, and I'm a pattern. And what God did in my life, He can do in your life. Follow me as I follow Christ, says the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul teaches us how to follow Christ correctly. He instructs us in matters of the church. So we're not making this stuff up as we go. We want to be a solid Bible-based church that loves the Lord and is in full gratitude of what Jesus Christ did for us, and never ever get tired of telling yourself that He loves me. On your worst day, you tell yourself, He loves me. when everything else is failing and people are dying all around you, you tell yourself, He loves me, and He's dealt with this in full, and He knows exactly what I'm going through. He understands. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Our Savior will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said that, Behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Him intimately? Are you willing to get to know Him better? I would encourage you, read a chapter of the Gospel of John for the next 21 days. Open up your Bible and just read a chapter. Ask God to speak to you. Say, God, I want to know You. I want to see how You manifested the Father's will in Your Son for me. Because that's it. Salvation has to be personal. We can talk all day long. Christ died for the world. He died for sinners. He died for this guy right here. He died for me. He spilt His blood for me. And I say, thank You, Jesus, for what You've done for me. And I'm not ashamed of that. Who else has loved me that way? I have a dear family, dear wife, and I believe she would die for me. And that's the type of sacrificial love. But our Savior did this while we were His enemies. I mean, she's my wife. She knows I love her. But I was an enemy of Christ's. I was an enemy. And He made me not an enemy. He loves His enemies. So stop beating yourself up. He loves you. And He wants you to come to Him over and over and over again. If you're having problems following Christ, well, we'll get to know Him personally better. Improve upon that time with Him, that intimacy. And finally, in verse 40, His promise is a guarantee. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son... Here's the deal, okay? As we're talking about Jesus, people are seeing the Son. I'm describing what He did for the world. As that becomes real to you, as you're seeing Him and you're understanding Him and believing Him, you are showing forth that you trust the record of God. If you struggle with unbelief, you're not alone. But what are you building your life on? Further lies and unbelief structures or solid truth that God gave in His Word? See, people say, I have a hard time believing. Well, what are you actually looking at? What are you feeding your mind with? Are you focusing on this dark, sin-cursed world that is a mess? It's a mess. God knows it. He's left us here to be lights. We're lights. We're a bright light. We want to be a church. We want our name to be reflected in what we do. Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. I almost said the previous church, Lighthouse Christian Fellowship, that I was once a part of. Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. We celebrate grace, the goodness of God, and we shine the light of what God is doing. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. God left us a record of His dealings with His entire creation. He had a rebellious people called the Israelites. He still loves them. He still has a plan for them. He's not abandoned them. It may look like that at times, but He's not forsaken them. He loves them. Now, they rejected His Son. John chapters, all the chapters in John seem to deal with one or two aspects over and over again of the people that should have believed Him didn't believe Him. But He says there, He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many who have received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. The only way a person becomes a child of God, you can't say, well, because we're all created, we're all made in God's image. That's correct. I agree with that. Every human being that you walk by on this planet Earth, yes, created in the image of God, they are not necessarily a child of God. People mix this stuff up and it gets traction in their thinking, and it's a lie. Yes, you can know for sure that God created every human being through a man and a woman. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise Him up on the last day. You ever been in a maze? You ever been in a corn maze? It's like scary. Some of them, people are like, yeah, you should go do that corn maze. Jesus Christ is the exit out of the maze. He is the true exit. The world system is a lot like the maze, and Christ is the exit out of the maze into everlasting life. Many people will circulate that maze their entire life, and that's not God's desire. He wants them to know Him. The full proof of that is the cross. That's why when we observe communion, what we're going to do right now, this is for open to anybody here. We're going to pass a simple cracker. And we're going to pass a simple cup of Welch's grape juice, in case there's any questions. But these represent the very thing that Christ calls us to remember. They are tangible reminders of what He did for us. So I'm going to step down here. I'm going to ask two of the gentlemen, Lorenzo and Ed, if you guys would come back up this morning. These little silver tinfoil ones are gluten-free. So if anybody says, I'm a gluten-free, it's in my menu, you've got something here for you too, okay? Before you guys serve, everybody just stay right there for just a moment. I'm going to grab a piece of this bread. If you notice on this piece of bread that you'll get, you'll see little pierce holes. They should remind you of the love that was demonstrated for you. Jesus was pierced for me. He was wounded for me. So as you think about this, as you take the bread, hold the bread. We're all going to take this together at the end. The gentleman will pass this around. But just express in your own way before the Lord this morning, God, thank you that you are pierced for me.
Take this bread, I give to you, and as you do, remember me. This bread is my body, broken just for you. Take it, eat it, each time you do.